It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds. They are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth, only me talking the truth, ayy.
It is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Taz, Moose with you here on this Monday morning. You've got Pete and Mike across the way, Bogish. With your updates as we take you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. Mark Herzlick will join us a little later on in the program, coming your way at 8:20 a.m. Eastern time. Former Giant and Boston College linebacker will join us, Taz, as we kick off this hour running around the National Football League, the week two that was. We spent a lot of time certainly on some of the history, some of the, you know, the great ending in Denver and Chicago, yeah. Philadelphia and Atlanta last night, the injuries in Pittsburgh and down in New Orleans. And, you know, down in South Beach, there wasn't much of a game. He didn't expect much of a game as the Patriots were an 18.5, 19-point favorite going into it. And the Miami Dolphins are just a brutal team to watch. They really are. Non-existent offensively. Yeah. And the Pats have their way. And Antonio Brown has 4 catches, 52 yards. I think he has 8 or 9 targets over the course of the game. You know, made the travel to the team, doing the warm-ups, barefoot in the end zone and all. And it seemed like the Patriots made a concerted effort. Not seemed like. It was a concerted effort to try and get Antonio Brown acclimated to that offense and getting him a lot of burn with that offense. And you saw it early on in that game and often in that game, Taz, And that became a laugher late with all the defensive touchdowns for the Pats.
Oh, first play of the game for the Patriots. I watched it. They went right to Brown. They set the tone right away with Antonio Brown. They showed you right away. And they you could see that they wanted to have, you know, Brady and Antonio Brown not just set a tone as a unit, but try to build some chemistry. It wasn't there the whole game. You know, there was definitely some missed throws by Brady where he didn't know where Brown was going to be and stuff like that. So it's scary to see that that'll be fixed, that this guy just got there, I believe, Antonio Brown, like Monday, whatever it was, last Monday, and he's on the field starting and playing and producing. I understand it's the Dolphins, and they're horrible. The Dolphins are, you just said it, and I don't know, there's not enough adjectives to say how bad of a football team they are, and it seems like a lot of guys are quitting on that team, which is sad, but... You know, we knew it was going to be like a scrimmage for the Patriots, and they blew them out 43-0.
Yeah, they did. Jamie Collins with the touchdown as well off a deflection as you saw Rosen in that game in the second half, Taz, replacing Ryan Fitzpatrick at the quarterback spot. I would expect more of this from the Miami Dolphins as well. They go into Dallas next week to take on the Cowboys. I would imagine the Cowboys are going to embarrass them as well. They're pretty bad. They're probably one of the... Through the first 2 weeks, Taz, they're probably one of the worst NFL teams I've seen in the last 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. Tough to argue that
and,
one.
and I don't see it getting any better. And for the Pats here, Taz, you look at that offense with Brown and with Gordon and with Edelman, with what they have offensively and Michelle and White and Rex Burkhead, Brady, obviously, offensive line. We know how good their offensive line coach is. And the defense is really good as well. I mean, it you know, the Patriots are once again front runners in the AFC. And it's amazing how 3 months ago, you look at it, we're talking about no Gronkowski, you've got Edelman, you've got other unproven wide receivers. In the span of 3 months, they get Gordon back from his suspension and his indefinite suspension for violating the substance abuse program in the National Football League. And then they acquire and sign Antonio Brown in free agency after everything that transpired with him and the Oakland Raiders. So they had two guys that can completely, if they are able to stay on the football field and they don't bring the drama and Gordon is able to have his life in order, they had two guys to an offense, Taz, that could completely change an offense. It's amazing what they can do.
Yeah, no kidding. I watched them a lot, you know, and yesterday I did watch a lot of this game, and I don't normally watch Patriot games, but I did. I just, not just because of Brown, I wanted to see all the things you just said and stuff we've talked about here for the past week or so. And, you know, the Brady, the distribution of the ball to the points you're making, all the different players. From Edelman to Brown, Lacoste, all these guys, Dorsett, Burkhead even, you know, out of the backfield. Like Gordon. Gordon wasn't too active. He's on my fantasy team. I wish he was more. I wish they had him involved more. There were a couple plays, I think, in the third or fourth quarter they were trying to get him involved more. And you could see Brady was forcing the ball to him in a positive way, and he made a couple of good catches. But I think that'll change. They have so much weaponry, as you said, man. It's like they can just each week say, okay, look, defenses are going to tee off on Antonio Brown. All right, let's focus on Edelman. All right, you know what? They focus on Edelman and Brown. Let's get the ball to, you know, Lacoste and what do you call it? Gordon. You know, it's scary. It's scary. And Brady, his accuracy is great. He was I think he said his numbers. He was 20 of 28, 264 yards, no interceptions, 2 touchdowns. You know, he's on point. And they had no. It's scary too. Is that Sony Michel involved with the run game a lot more yesterday? He had 85 yards rushing, where the week prior he wasn't involved too much. So now you got a steady run game with him and Burkhead. I mean, they're just balanced offensively. It's just
They're great. I mean, they are a great team to watch, Taz. They really are. And you saw that yesterday down in Miami. How about your Buffalo Bills going into MetLife Stadium and knocking off the Giants and, you know, hand it to them. You know, you see the Giants, their lack of use of Saquon Barkley at times, and certainly you saw the inefficiency and the deficiencies of that offense. Defense, certainly for the Giants, a cause for concern, not being able to get to the quarterback. They did have 3 sacks of Josh Allen yesterday, but the coverage breakdowns once again, and your Buffalo Bills are 2-0.
Yeah, they look good. I got to say, I'm not getting too cocky, trust me, but they look good. Josh Allen looks much more comfortable. You know, he threw for a little bit north of 250 yards yesterday, and he protected the football, which was nice. Frank Gore ran the ball well. Singletary ran the ball well, too. Got a little bit of a hamstring issue. He got hurt. Not too bad, so we'll see. I don't know what his status is, to be honest with you. You know who I really enjoyed watching, and I was so happy when they got it from the Cowboys, was Beasley, Cole Beasley. And they really incorporated him, the Bills did, in the offense heavily, along with Brown. So I was happy to see that, because I had a feeling Cole Beasley, I always respected the type of player he is, and I'm so happy he's on the Bills. But I got to tell you, you know, very early in the game, maybe the first series, I think it was, with Barkley, to your point, you know, running the ball, and he's just a freak of nature, Barkley, you know. They didn't get, I mean, I know he ran over 100 yards, don't get me wrong, but it felt like they didn't utilize him enough in that first half. I will give you this on the Giants, even though they lost the game 28-14, the Giants, Moose, they made some adjustments big time at halftime, and they shut out the Bills in the third quarter. Bills couldn't do nothing. I was panicking. I'm like, oh, God, we had a great first half, and now they figured out Josh Allen. They figured everything out here. Defensively, they made some legitimate adjustments, but it wasn't enough, and the Bills ended up scoring in the fourth quarter, you know, again. So, won the game, like I said, 28-14. But Manning, you know, listen, it's just Mike and I were talking before the show. Mike's, as you know, he's a Giant fan. I'm a Bills fan. And, Mike, I don't take words out of it. You were saying about when you watch a young player like a Josh Allen, then you watch an Eli Manning, the difference, right?
You could see the difference when a play broke down and Eli Manning, the Giants were screwed. With Allen, he was able to move around a little bit, buy some time, and then find Cole Beasley every third day.
Correct. That's how it felt, you know. So, I don't want to sit here and say I thought Eli Manning looked horrendous. I don't think he looked horrendous. He looks good enough. You know what I mean?
I don't think this is an Eli problem. I think he's going to be out of the. You know, I think you're going to see Daniel Jones in the not so distant future. But
do you remember my prediction?
Was it week three?
Let me just finish my point here for a second.
The point being here is that you look at the Giants, they've got bigger issues than just the quarterback. The defense, you've got guys in defensive breakdowns with the Giants in that secondary, in which they're letting guys run through in Betcher's system that should not be running through. And guys are one and wide open as well. And that's a problem. You saw that week one down in Dallas. You saw that once again yesterday against the Buffalo Bills. And that's a problem for that defense. Maybe it's a case where they've got to simplify that defense a little bit. You saw a little bit more burn, certainly, from Saquon Barkley at 18 carries, 11 week one, and over 20 touches, less than 20 week one. And that's a positive. Offensive line, I thought, for the Giants held their own. But, yeah, the Giants' season's getting away from them at 0-2. And, yeah, I think you'll see Daniel Jones in here sooner rather than later. But I don't think all of a sudden he is going to equate to the Giants having a successful year either.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
No, I hear you.
What was the prediction about Jones?
I think it was week 4 or 5. I don't remember when I said it. I thought you did, but I was quasi-joking. That's not important. The thing is that if you go to Jones, you know, I do think – you know, he's obviously your future, you know, and he's shown a lot of good stuff in preseason. There's a lot of good reports out of him, as you know, out of camp. So, what the hell? I mean, if you're, you know, if you're built to this kid, you're sitting right now 0-2, you know what I mean? Not that the season's over, I'm not saying that, but still, I mean.
Well, the Giants aren't going anywhere.
Right. No, I
know you don't want to bury anybody. I mean, I'll bury him. I mean, the Giants aren't going anywhere this year. They're not a good football team. And defensively, leaves you a lot wanting as well. And they're not effective enough offensively, Taz. That's the other issue. You can't, if you're going to be a bad defense, then you've got to be a really explosive, high-scoring offense to help alleviate and put stress off that defense, and they just don't do it. And defensively, you look at Buffalo. They're a good, solid defensive team. You love their front seven, front four. You know, Allen, when he needs to make throws, can take a hit, deliver the football. They're good enough offensively. I wouldn't say they're a great offensive team. Defense is very, very good, and they've shown it for you the past couple of weeks, especially in that second half against the Jets.
Well, yeah, the defense is really good, in my opinion. And, you know, and they got a kid that we talked about a lot when he came out as a rookie out of Houston, Ed Oliver, as a defensive tackle there, who's just playing great. Harrison Phillips, also a kid who played who's in the league now 2 or 3 years, out of Stanford, playing really well. And Lorenzo Alexander, a veteran. I feel like this guy's been playing for 20 years. He's doing great. And one of my favorite linebackers in the game, not just because he's a Bill, but he's underrated, and that's Matt Milano, who's a tremendous linebacker. And their D-backs are just great. They will pop you. Micah Hyde, Tre'Davious White, these guys will Poyer, these guys will nail you. And I'm a big fan of our defense, of the Bills' defense for sure. So, but we'll see. You know, it's the, you know to go into New Jersey there and beat the Jets and the Giants back to back is nice for the Bills. I'm happy to see that as a former Jet fan, and now we get to go home, and they're tough at home, the Bills. So we'll see what happens. It's the NFL. Every week is like a it's like a Super Bowl. Every week's tough, you know.
So very tough. Yeah. You never know what's going to happen.
You never know. Yeah.
To Lambeau Field we go next, Taz. How about the Packers hold on against the Minnesota Vikings 21-16, in which they jump out on top early. And you thought they were going to run away and hide. Minnesota Vikings defense, which was great week one at home against the Atlanta Falcons, they looked lost. They looked lost early in this game, in which they trail early in this game 21-0. It's 21-10 at the half, and then you see you honestly see a kind of a change. That Vikings defense had adjusted to what Green Bay Packers were doing offensively. They kind of gained control, and the Minnesota Vikings had so many opportunities to win this football game, Taz. One after the other after the other, and it's going to haunt them once again.
I know.
Bailey, you have Bailey missing field goals, missing extra points. You had a bogus pass interference, offensive pass interference that was called, which drew the ire of the Vikings. And then late in the game, Kirk Cousins, who they've got a first and goal opportunity, Taz. He's scrambling out to the right, and he throws it into the end zone into double coverage, trying to hit Stephon Diggs, gets picked off by King, the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. What are you doing if you're Kirk Cousins making that throw?
I don't know what he was doing. You're right.
That's like a fourth down and goal throw, is it not? That's
yes,
a fourth and goal. I need a miracle. I've got nowhere else to go.
What are you doing?
Throw that ball away. You still got three more downs there.
I know. And how about Dalvin
Cook? Five and a half minutes to go.
You got one of the better running backs in the NFL in Cook, who ran over 150 yards yesterday. Okay, this guy, and you can't. I know you're on the road, and I know it's tough in Lambeau. You got to be. You can't utilize him even more or get more out and squeeze out a victory here. It's tough. It's tough to swallow if you're a Vikings fan, because you're right. They did have several opportunities to win the game. You know, I heard from texting during the game was Robbie, big Robbie.
Oh, Rosenhaus. You did?
Yeah, he was about this. He was very upset.
I'm sure he was.
He's like, this sucks. You know, and then it was rapid text. We should have won. I'm like, bro, I'm locked into something else tonight right now. He's bothering me, like, after the game. He's venting to me. Like, I got my own problems. I know my Bills won. And then, like, after all these misery texts about the Vikings losing, he's like, congrats on the Bills.
There you go.
That's it. And that was it. He was gone after that.
Well, if you look at the Vikings, they had 421 total yards. They outgained Green Bay.
Yeah.
They weren't great on third down efficiency, but they, Cousins threw for more yards. They had nearly 200 yards rushing on the ground. You brought up Dalvin Cook and the job that he did. Aaron Jones had a nice game on the ground as well for the Green Bay Packers, Taz, but like we mentioned earlier, it wasn't a quintessential Packers performance. You did see LaFleur and Rodgers get a little heated or spirited in conversation on the sideline at times. I think Rodgers was a little bit frustrated about what they were doing offensively and how stagnant they looked after the opening quarter and a half, I would say. For the rest of the game, they did next to nothing. But here's the difference with the Packers this year, Taz. They were able to make some plays defensively. It wasn't the prettiest thing, they put themselves in a position with what they did in free agency and in the draft as well to be able to have a defense that might be able to make a play or two to save a win for you, and that's exactly what they did yesterday. Now, the Minnesota Vikings helped them out because they played a sloppy game, but would this Green Bay team in 2018, would that Green Bay team in 18, that defense in 18, win this game that they won yesterday? I tell you, they wouldn't.
Yeah, probably not. No, I'm with you. I agree with you. Totally agree with you. Yeah. I mean, look, Lambeau's a tough place to play.
It is.
Yeah, it's a tough place. And these two teams, they've always knuckled up pretty good for decades. You know what I mean? So, I mean, if I'm a Viking fan right now, I mean, you're sitting 1-1. I wouldn't, panic right now. I'm not a big Kirk Cousins fan. I know you're not either. You know, I'm not sitting here 14 saying
14-32 Taz for 230 yards, a touchdown, and two picks, and also lost a fumble.
Yeah, that's not good.
I mean, you lose the game by five.
Well, they got a winnable game coming up. They got Oakland at home. I mean,
they could win that game, yeah. Taz, but these are games you want to kind of win and build upon.
On the road.
Especially it's frustrating when you have every opportunity to win that game. They had every opportunity to win that game. That last Cousins interception.
Horrible. It's a good opportunity to circle back and talk about the Bills real quick before we go to break. Winning two on the road. I don't know if we mentioned that.
Yes, we did. Back to back. Against the Giants and the Jets. Yes.
Stayed in the same hotel rooms. You know that? The guys, I heard. The guys stayed in the same hotel rooms. They kept all their stuff there. No joke.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's how it rolls. That's how you do it.
They went home for a couple days and just kept the rooms there.
They kept the rooms there, kept all their stuff there. Yep.
Nice.
Yes.
It's like home for them. They dominate. They're the only real New York team anyway, even though they're playing in Jersey.
Well, that's what Allen had to say.
He's right.
I could go on and on
about that. I had a hot take on Twitter about that, everything. On and on.
We'll head to Cincinnati. We'll talk a little 49ers and Bengals. We'll certainly touch upon what San Francisco's been able to do the first couple weeks as we continue our journey around the National Football League. It's Taz and Moose on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, football season's back, and there's no sweeter way to celebrate than by adding Snickers and Skittles, the official candy sponsors of the NFL, to your game day spread. We'll get into the matchups. San Diego or Los Angeles, I should say. The Chargers out in Detroit losing to the Lions in heartbreaking fashion as well.
Yes. Definitely tough. Let's go out to where we going here. We're going out somewhere. We know where. Oh, San Diego. Yes. Hi, you mentioned it. We're going to talk to Enrique. Listen to 97.3 FM. Hey, Enrique, you're on with Taz the Moose. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? I love the show, and I want to thank you guys. Every Monday, I drive from San Diego to L.A., and I love to have you guys on the radio.
Oh, thank you, Enrique.
You guys bring the heat, man. I love it. Just like Taz used to bring the heat back at ECW with Bill Alfonso. Great.
Thanks, Enrique. I appreciate it. What's up, man?
I want to get your guys' opinion. You know, what was up with that whole Detroit-San Diego game? I was watching it, and I'm just sitting back going, are these two good defenses and just kind of horrible offenses, or just really horrible early season football teams, you know what I mean, that are probably going to play their way into shape? I couldn't believe it. The field goal kicking was atrocious. You would have thought they had like a junior college kicker tryout there. Matt Prater, who's normally reliable, couldn't really do much. And then the Chargers backup kicker was just, oh, God awful. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I mean, Prater was terrible, you know, and you had some poor decisions, and that's a game that the Chargers are going to look back on that they should have won. I mean, it is, they had at times, I thought, even though Detroit had played well in the first half, and some would argue the Lions had outplayed them, Chargers had taken those hits. You saw some poor decision-making by Stafford, and then you saw some, I would say, some bad football, sloppy football, kind of indicative of what the Chargers have been under Phillip Rivers. It's just not all of his fault where, you know, they're tantalizingly talented, but they also fall short in spots. I mean, that last interception that he threw was a bad decision into the end zone, picked off by the Lions, which kind of sealed the fate of the Los Angeles Chargers. But that's a game, as it got going, that I thought the Chargers, they couldn't finish off drives. The field goal kicker was terrible. The field goal kicker for the Lions was terrible, and Prater as well. But I look back on it, and that's one I think the Chargers let slip through their fingers.
Yeah, no, I agree. Even though you're on the road, I mean, you know, it's tough to win on the road in the NFL. We were talking about that in the last segment. But, you know, Chargers had an opportunity to do that out in Detroit and couldn't get it done. And, you know, when they had Eckler score over the top, old school jumping Jones over the on the goal line, that, you know, I don't see that much anymore. It was cool to see that, and he got me some points. I like Eckler. I got him on the fantasy team, but in the Taz Nimbus fantasy draft. But he played pretty good. But yeah, no, you're right. I mean, you gotta try and finish. You gotta try and finish. And Lions scored a late touchdown in the fourth quarter there. You know, that more or less put the game.
Well, you got a fumble at the goal line, right, where you were going in. I mean, that's another one where you look at it from a Charger perspective, where they have control of that game. Eckler had a fumble there.
You know, and then you get the so you can't have that, and that negated the two Stafford interceptions that you saw over the course of that game. But the Chargers are going in to take complete command of that game late. When you get that fumble at the goal line, and that kind of changed the complexion of everything. And even with all that being said, Taz, they still had an opportunity to kind of win this game late, and then you get the late Rivers interception, which sealed their fate. So
that's it.
They're 1-1. The Lions are now 1-0-1 after their opening week tie out there in Arizona. Wow. Look who's here,
Andrew
Bogus. What's going on?
Yeah, I came back.
Yes, good morning.
See you, buddy.
Kind of have to. Moose, good morning. So first, they beat the team Taz used to like. Then his current faves beat the other New York team that plays in New Jersey.
First down, Buffalo. Here's a little toss to Isaiah McKenzie on the run on the jet sweep. Left side inside the 10 in the 5. Corner of the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. Isaiah McKenzie from 14 yards out runs into the end zone for the Buffalo touchdown.
That's John Murphy on Bills Radio. Josh Allen added a score with his legs in a 28-14 decision over the Giants. The Bills are 2-0 for the first time in five seasons. Congrats to you and the nation.
Well, we take it.
Yeah.
We take it. This is I can go on here. This is a big moment for us. We're going to run with it. We're not going to make a big deal out of anything.
Mm-mm.
A lot of people saying, you know what, buddy, once you guys play the Pats, you're going to get your ass whooped. Yeah, that could happen. But right now, we're not playing the Pats. So the way I look at it, we just got a big victory, two victories right there in East Rutherford. So as a Bills fan and a proud member of the Bills Mafia, I'm very proud of the guys.
Yeah.
I really am.
Ouch. Well, yeah.
As the board operator is a Jet fan. Yes. That's part of the problem with
Keith
the show.
Really didn't know what to do.
Pete, did you watch the whole Jet game last week?
Yes,
exactly.
Unfortunately.
Well said. Exactly.
Also 2-0 this morning are the 49ers, 41-17 winners in Cincinnati. Three TD passes for Jimmy Garoppolo, three as well for Dak Prescott, as Dallas won in Washington 31-21. Drew Brees has reportedly already seen a hand specialist in L.A. for the right thumb injury suffered in a 27-9 loss at the Rams. Brees said to be dealing with a ligament injury, will likely miss some time. More info expected from the Saints later today. And Ben Roethlisberger hurt his right elbow in the Steelers' 28-26 home loss to Seattle. The Colts got by the Titans 19-17 on T.Y. Hilton's TD catch with 4:38 to go. The Texans stopped the Jaguars' two-point conversion with 30 seconds left to win 13-12. The Vikings fell at Lambeau 21-16. And the Bears won in Denver because they've apparently found a kicker.
Good placement. Boot by Eddie Pinheiro. Kick to the uprights. Now the kick is good for the win. Pinheiro with a narrow kick to send Denver down as time expires.
Nice. Oh, easy, John Sterling.
Easy.
Jeff Joniak on Bears Radio.
Joniak.
A 53-yard winner, 16-14 the final at Mile High. In primetime last night, the Falcons got by the Eagles 24-20. Julio Jones, a 54-yard catch and run. Go-ahead point, 2:10 left. Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson missed most of that game with injuries for the Eagles.
Matthews had a great block on it.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Yes, Jake Matthews.
The Cubs, holders of the second wild card.
Dad Bruce is like, enough.
Yeah, I know. This guy won't stop.
I don't even like him that much.
Just got traded.
And he's my son.
You make that block in open space.
And boom.
Side. It's yes.
Oh, there it is on TV. He's laying on it, dude.
I've been in that position when I've played
being
years ago.
Being laid on by Matthews?
No. I promise you that. No, not that. But that block in open space we just watched there on television, that is something of epic stuff right there. It's hard. I know, Moose, you're making little sarcastic tones. But I'm telling you right now.
No, I understand.
No, you're being disingenuous. You're
going, well, you just heard it already.
I've heard it.
Well, maybe for the listening audience that just joining on Taz and Moose, maybe they want to hear some hot takes, Andrew, instead of Andrew saying, they heard it before! Okay, Andrew, you know, I'm a little sick of you, okay?
A little?
To be honest. You're getting on my nerves.
Great job by Jake Matthews.
You
done? You done?
Am I done? No. I'll be here until 9 a.m. Eastern.
Oh, okay.
Bogus, you done?
I could be, Moose. It's up to you.
No, finish up the baseball. Let's go.
What's Cubs the problem?
Why can't I have a little conversation with Andrew Bogus? Why are you throwing him out already? He's in a rush again.
Yeah, we got some other stuff to get to.
Oh, all right. My bad.
The Cubs beat the Pirates.
Oh, God! What
What's going on?
In the afternoon, 16-6. But first baseman Anthony Rizzo hurt his right ankle. X-rays showed no fracture in MRI today. The victory keeps the Cubs one game clear of the Brewers for that second and a wild card. Milwaukee won in St. Louis 7-6. The Mets lost at night to the Dodgers 3-2, so they are four games behind the Cubs. And Cal and Arizona State now in the AP College Football Top 25. That gives the Pac-12 six ranked teams for the first time since November 2015. Now I'm done.
All right,
thank
thanks,
you for
Andrew.
The time.
Chat with you next hour.
Looking forward to talking to you, buddy.
How about the Texans and Jaguars yesterday? Did you have an issue with Doug Marrone and the Jaguars? Game down one. You score a touchdown, 30 seconds left in regulation on the road. Backup quarterback in, we know. Foles done. You survived in a nasty, hard-hitting game.
Yeah.
Do you have an issue with going for two there instead of kicking the extra point, forcing the tie, and going overtime?
I think in this day and age, man, I think you got to kick the extra point. What about you?
No, I thought on the road, I thought it was the right call.
Yeah, you think so?
I thought on the road, I did think it was the right call. Now, the one thing that they've got to fix down in Houston is I need a camera angle down the line. You know, you cannot in today's day and age of NFL replay, you cannot have your goal line camera be off even by a smidge, especially, Taz, if I'm going to the replay system to review this, to where it's a little bit of an angle as compared to other end zones. That's something down in Houston. I don't know. Maybe they can't correct it because of the stadium and the way that it's configured. I don't know, but they've got to do their darndest to try and correct that and change that, because you know, you could not clearly tell on the play. When you get the initial stop of Fournette on the two-point conversion, and then he's not down, knee not down, and then you get the late surge, and then he gets pushed back.
Right.
It appears that maybe the ball had touched the goal line. It appears, right? Maybe. Now, it's not definitive, so the play was called one way on the field. If it's not definitive, you can't overturn it. However, you learn as that replay is going on as well, the camera angle you're watching is not right down the line either.
Yeah, right.
It's a little bit of an angle, which adjusts your viewing as well. Mm. Taz, how in 2019, how in every NFL stadium, how do you not have a camera right down each and every goal line with the much of the emphasis that we're having on replay? How is it even a smidge off?
I don't know. It makes no sense. I don't know.
Does that make any sense whatsoever?
No, it doesn't make sense what they have going on down there.
Now, it helped Houston out. They don't care.
Right.
But doesn't that need to be changed moving forward here?
I definitely think so. I mean, they should look into changing for sure. Side note about the Jags. How about the kid Minshew? Okay, the kid goes 23 of 33, 213 yards, protects the football. I thought he played pretty good, Moose.
I thought he played good. He's clearly got a relationship with the kid Shark.
Right. Yes, true.
Was practice squad, you know, second team reps and everything like that.
C-H-A-R-K for those wondering, not
correct.
Shark.
Correct.
Say the way you
shark,
say.
Shark.
It's kind of strange. Sounds like Shark.
But he threw the 5-yard touchdown pass to him with 30 seconds to go. Yeah, he didn't implode. He did not. I thought he played pretty well. But Taz, now the Jaguars are 0-2. Staring at the abyss. And I think there are probably some. I think it's an interesting debate. I think if you are the home team, and I think you got to read the vibe of what you're, kind of the play right there. You know, you listen, I believe it was Marrone after the game felt like he thought that Houston defense was taxed and a little tired and back on their heels and thought maybe at that time they could catch them and hit that 2-point conversion, Taz, to take the lead at that stage. I mean, I can understand playing for the tie, but they decide to go for the win, which is a gutsy move and a gutsy decision by Doug Marrone at that time. And they obviously get stopped with Leonard Fournette on the second effort.
Speaking of Marrone, I don't know the details, but maybe you do. I haven't read it, and I didn't watch a whole game. I watched some of it. Ramsey and him, I saw a clip of it.
He would not comment on it.
Oh, he wouldn't comment.
Well,
he said, I forget what
the conversation was about, which is a lie.
Right.
I mean, which is nonsense after the game.
That's what he said?
But yeah.
You're paraphrasing.
I'm paraphrasing. In essence, he basically said he didn't remember what the conversation was.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Of course he does, but he's not going to add more fuel to it. I mean, if Ramsey's not going to say it, and he's not going to say it, unless somebody overhearing the conversation is going to tell a reporter, but you know, he's not going to get into it and add more fuel to the fire after the game, Taz. That's not going to happen either. So
let's take a listen. We have Marrone right here. Let's take a listen here.
There's a lot of emotion in the game, I'm sure. I don't know. I can't recall.
Moose, you're right. Yeah, that's
Yeah, he didn't want to add anything to it. Yeah, but the Jaguars now 0-2, Taz. It was Minshew playing pretty well yesterday down in Houston. And the Texans, as they were described after the game, as they said, they were desperate for a win. You're right? A heartbreaking opening week loss down in New Orleans against the Saints. They needed the victory. I think their veteran corner, Joseph, talked about it after the game. They need to find a way to win the football game. And even though it wasn't the prettiest of things, Taz, they did. You know what was pretty yesterday? How about the 49ers and Garoppolo?
Oh, he played really good.
Yeah, and I'll eat a little crow because I poked fun at Garoppolo throwing all those interceptions during the course of the preseason, Taz. Maybe you'd be a little bit concerned. I'll tell you, Garoppolo is throwing seeds first 2 weeks. Now, I know it's the Bucs and it's the Bengals.
Right.
But the Bengals played pretty well opening week on the road in Seattle. But the 49ers yesterday go into Cincinnati. They embarrassed the Bengals. And Garoppolo's played well the first couple weeks.
He really has. I mean, Jimmy G, handsome man Jones, almost 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 INT. Jimmy G looking good. And the Bengals get a big time pounding on the Bengals, 41-17.
Yeah, Joe Mixon doesn't do much offensively on the road in Cincinnati. They don't do much. Garoppolo, as you mentioned, 297 and 3 touchdowns. Spread the football around. You know, Breda had 121 yards rushing on the ground. Morstead had 83 on the ground. But you look at it: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different receivers. Deebo Samuel, Taz, who was a huge star at South Carolina,
and was their
second-round draft choice coming out of South Carolina, had 5 catches, 87 yards, and a touchdown. And that's a guy not to forget about. George Kittle, who was a huge star at tight end last year, 3 catches for 54 yards. But that Deebo Samuel, they have high expectations for him out there in San Fran.
He's legit. Yeah, he's legit. I remember him very well in college. And you mentioned Mixon a second ago. He had 17 yards rushing, no touchdowns. At 11 attempts, so I saw something on him. I don't know if he's injured or bad.
He had an ankle injury.
He had an ankle, so I know I saw suffered information coming in. It's like insane.
No, he had an ankle injury after week one. He was questionable all week long. He practiced on Friday, so he's good to go on Sunday. But once that game, Taz, becomes 24-10 San Francisco, you're not really grinding it out with Joe Mixon. And even if they could, they couldn't, because all they had was they had 19 carries for 25 yards as a team.
Jeez, man.
Think about that.
It's horrible.
You want to look at comparison, who's winning at the point of attack? Cincinnati, 19 carries, 25 yards as a team. The 49ers, 42 carries as a team, 259 yards.
The 49ers had 27 first downs, and the Bengals had 14. I mean, the amount of, they just scored 14 points first quarter, 10 points second quarter, 10 points. The Niners were scoring left and right.
Total domination.
Good stuff, yeah.
Total domination. We'll come back. We'll talk about Dak and the Cowboys, Taz. They might not have started well early, but they finished strong against the god-awful Washington Redskins. And some of the replays that we saw yesterday as well. It's Taz and the Moose on a busy Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio, toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. And football season is certainly back. And Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader. First, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs open their 2019 home schedule against Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Then, maybe Drew Brees and the Saints head to Seattle for a late afternoon showdown with the Seahawks. A full day of football starts with JB and the guys on the NFL Today on CBS. We'll find out about the health or the significance of that thumb injury on his right hand, throwing hand, for Drew Brees. He's meeting with a hand specialist out in Los Angeles as the team flew back home to New Orleans, Taz, after their loss yesterday out in Los Angeles. You know, when you find out whether or not, you know, you watch young signal callers and young quarterbacks, and whether or not a staff or a head coach or an offensive coordinator really trust that young quarterback to throw the football. You know, a situation yesterday in the Ravens and Cardinals game, 23-17,
yeah,
third and long, late in the game, I would say about the 240 mark of the fourth quarter. Baltimore has it in Arizona territory, about, I would say, about the 45 or 48 yard line, something of that nature. Now you're saying the you know, at that stage, you know, you run the football, use the time and what have you. They decide at that stage to throw it. And Lamar Jackson hits Hollywood Brown down the right sideline and over the shoulder, a beautiful throw by Lamar Jackson, first down. And the Baltimore Ravens from that point forward were able to run the ball out or run the clock out after yet another first down run by Mark Ingram to close the game out. That's when you really, I think, when you find out whether or not you truly trust the quarterback in that scenario, Taz. How many times you see teams in third and long run the ball there? And, you know, the Baltimore Ravens played to win it. We're going to end it with our offense. and Lamar Jackson delivered there. And I'll tell you, I'm eating a lot of I did not think Lamar Jackson could throw it as well as he has the first couple weeks we've watched him. He threw the ball very well yesterday against Arizona at home down in Baltimore. And he threw for well over 200 yards. He ran for over 100 yards on the ground as well. He is developing into a young star for the Ravens.
Yeah, it's time to believe. If you didn't believe in Lamar Jackson, you gotta. I mean, he's showing you why you gotta believe. He's a little shy of throwing 300 yards. He threw for 372 yards to be exact. So, you know, and he protected the ball, man. No interceptions, and he ran, like you said, moves for over 100 yards, like 120 yards it looks like. So, you know, he is real. He is real. You know, back to back weeks playing great. He obviously has worked on his on the football, leaving his hand a little quicker, on his working on his accuracy during the offseason. You could see he put a lot of time in because he is, to the point you just made, throwing the ball a lot better.
Oh, he is, and he loves throwing that tight end, Mark Andrews, who I believe started Oklahoma, did the tight end for the Baltimore Ravens. But he loves throwing to him, and I'll tell you, for Kyler Murray, just the second quarterback in NFL history, first two starts to throw for well over 300 yards, and he had 349 passing yards. In a game that ends up being a 23-17 victory for the Baltimore Ravens, but the Arizona Cardinals, the Ravens' defense bent, but didn't break ultimately. The Arizona Cardinals in this game kicked three field goals where they were inside the Baltimore 5-yard line.
Yeah.
So a game that Arizona easily could have won, Taz, on the road in Baltimore if they were able to finish up drives. Now, you give the Ravens defense credit for stiffening at those stages, but anytime you're kicking field goals and you're kicking, you know, you're kicking 22, 23-yard field goals, that's also a failure on the offense, too.
Yeah, correct. The thing is, though, too, they had David Johnson, the Cardinals, that he got hurt early. I think it was in the first quarter. So his wrist got banged up. Then he came back before halftime, but he was out a good chunk right there, the whole second quarter, stuff like that. And he scored the only touchdown, I believe, for the Cardinals. But, yeah, listen, Murray, he's going to be good. He's going to be good. I mean, I'm starting to believe in him a little bit. I understand, you know, he lost here. His team lost here last week. They ended in a tie, which sucks. I hate ties.
Yeah.
But like you said, he threw for just about 350 yards. I mean, and again, no interceptions. I bring it up because a young quarterback, a rookie like this, trying looking at these schemes defensively and how fast these defensive are, you know, if him not throwing interception, but yet he's moving the football around. He threw the ball 40 times and no interceptions. That's impressive. And he threw for a lot of yards. And he obviously can run his ass off. He's got great feet. We didn't see much of it yesterday.
Nope.
Once he gets comfortable and he gets out of that pocket and he's out of the tackle box and he gets comfortable playing in the NFL, he will be deadly because that's when his size won't hurt him or help him. It's just his speed and athleticism will. You know, I think his upside is better. I tell you what, I believe in him more now than I did as he was coming into the NFL. I think he's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, and he showed it the first couple weeks, and yesterday he easily could have been victorious on the road down in Baltimore. And down to Tennessee, Taz, strange scenario before the game. I know you tweeted out the video, and a number of people, you know, the pyrotechnics caught fire, correct, on the left sideline down in Tennessee?
Listen, I didn't read the story, truth be told, but I don't think it was pyrotechnics. It might have been pyrotechnics. It looked like the heater. It looked like what was on fire was a heater, what I saw on fire. Now, I don't know if you might have read the story. I'm just being honest. I did not read the story. I saw the tweet. I was in the middle of doing something. I was laughing and retweeted it out. This was yesterday, obviously. And it looked like one of those sideline heaters. Again, I'm being honest. I did not read it. So it could have been the pyrotechnics. I don't know. But it looked like it was the pyrotechnics.
Yeah.
So, but it looked like a heater. maybe the pyrotechnics caught fire with the heater. Maybe it was both. It is obviously the pyrotechnics, as we're reading, but that looked like a sideline. There's another angle I saw of the – it looked like a sideline. But anyway, craziness. I never seen nothing like this before on a sideline.
Yeah, very – right minutes before the game between the Titans and the Colts, and then Tennessee in the game, and the Colts play what you would expect in, you know, a typical, you know, divisional game, you know, hard-hitting, nasty, that the Colts end up winning and finding a way to survive it down in Tennessee and win the game. 19-17 being the final, Taz, where Tennessee has an opportunity late. I mean, they had multiple opportunities. Game could have gone either way. But Jacoby Brissett and the Colts are now, you know, 1-1 on the season. They go down to Tennessee, a Tennessee team that embarrassed the Cleveland Browns. That's why you never know week to week. And the big story out of Indianapolis, even after a victory, is going to be about Adam Vinatieri, who told the media after the game, they'll, you know, legendary field goal kicker. He's going to be a Hall of Famer one day in Canton, Ohio. Longtime Patriot, longtime Colt. Big kick after big kick, especially in the Super Bowl. Said he's going to address the media today. There seemed to be a vibe after that game where Jim Irsay said he's concerned about Vinatieri. I think it's three. You go back, he's missed extra points now in three consecutive. There's a feel that maybe Adam Vinatieri, maybe he decides to call it a career today.
Mm. Well, if that's the case, he had an amazing career.
Amazing.
He was just great. I was thinking about him yesterday when I heard about this and everything that happened at the Colts, you know, winning the game 19-17 and stuff like that and stuff in Terry. And I'm like, wow. I said, there are many kickers that you hear a player's name and right away you say, oh, I remember him. Yeah, I know who he is. You know, a field goal kicker for Patriots. I mean, he's got that kind of household name value. You know, he's that big of a star.
You're right.
He really does. You know?
You're right.
And it wasn't a sideline heat. I was wrong on that. It was pyrotechnics. You're right. Yeah. I just thought it was on a sideline heat. I don't know what the hell I'm thinking. It was 95 degrees.
It was hot. It was hot yesterday. No worries. We'll see what Vinatieri does decide today out in Indianapolis. We'll see if he does indeed call it a career. If he does, an absolute legend. We'll come back. We got the three for you. It's Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.